see you all here and to get to sing together. And I think, there we go. I'm going to do the thing that you're not supposed to do, like put a disclaimer, like I'm not the regular guy, okay? So if you like leave today and you're like, that guy, it's okay. Like the other guy's way better, right? Like, and if you think it's good, the other guy's still better. No, actually, right, it's the message. It's not the messenger. It's the message. Now this morning, I want to share a message that's a little bit more practical. As I was thinking about the start of the year, I think it's very much applicable to our new students, but it'll be applicable to all of us. And if you feel at all like I'm stepping on your toes this morning, I want you to know I am stomping on mine, okay? This morning, Tyler, crazy busy. So actually at Horizons, the theme was still, and I was asked to speak, and the topic was, if we aren't still, then like busy is king. And so I had prepared a little bit with that, and then as I had done that, I thought, well, this would be really good, and I kind of expand this a little bit. There's actually a book called Crazy Busy that I intended to read, but I got kind of busy and didn't finish. I read the intro and the conclusion, but since that time, summertime, I went and read it. Anyways, Kevin DeYoung is the author of that book. So anyways, this is a springboard for some of these thoughts. If you feel like if this is stomping on your toes like it is mine, I found it a helpful, encouraging book. The topic, again, like I said, of busyness is relevant at any age because there's always something to be busy with. Isn't it interesting? We have some of the most amount of leisure, and yet we are some of the busiest people. And we can be distracted, we can be scattered, we can be preoccupied, and we can be busy with so many things, many of them good things, that we miss the most important things. Let's begin by turning over to Mark chapter 4. I want to read the parable of the sower. We have accounts of this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but let's look at Mark chapter 4. We'll read a few verses here, verses 3 through 8. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, of course, they need understanding of what in the world Jesus is talking about here. And we go down a little bit in verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. I think we all should stop and do some honest assessment of what's the state of our heart. I really want to be the good soil. You know what I fear? I'm like, in my spiritual walk, am I letting thorns crowd out the most important things? We see there, what does it list there when he explains the thorns? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. You know, one of the great things about Bible camp and retreats, all those kinds of things, is we can go and we stop everything else and we separate ourselves and we take this time And we set everything else that's in our normal life aside for a moment. We can set the cares of the world aside, and we experience a great time, and then we can be on fire, and it's emotionally fired up, and then it quickly dissipates when we go back and get into our regular schedule, right? You see, the cares of the world are something that we will struggle with, how we weigh them our whole entire life. The deceitfulness of riches. And we think, money will solve this, or, well, at least, you know, we'll solve a lot of things, but you see, it's deceitfulness. It doesn't do what it appears to do. It's not what you think it is. So we have the cares of the world. We have the deceitfulness of riches. We want to pursue. I want to be comfortable. I want to have enough, right? I don't want to be super rich, but we get focused on the material things. But also that the desire for other things. That desire for other things, the desire of for the word is swallowed up by the desire for other things. I shared this story this summer, and so if you were there, there may have been a handful of you new students that were at Horizons. So you may remember this. I talked about, like, for example, this is a silly example, but nevertheless, a relevant one. I don't have a Nintendo Switch, but I would like a Nintendo Switch because I like Mario Kart. But then I'm like, well, you got to spend the money to get it. Then you got the accessories to do it. And then what? You're going to spend a lot of time if you're not careful. My girls have been wanting to play Mario Kart for years. And so at the end of Horizons, they said, please pray for the SoCo girls that their father will let them play Mario Kart. I want you to know this summer, one day I hooked up the Nintendo Wii and they didn't notice it for a few days. And they played some Mario Kart. So the prayers were answered. They've had a little bit of Mario Kart. Look, I know that's really silly, but it's actually like these things in our life that we like spend for or we sacrifice for and we bring into our life and then we let them take greater control of our life and we get all out of sorts and all out of whack and we can't prioritize the most important things. And so busyness can crowd out our Christian walk like thorns. Have you ever felt, right, overwhelmed, anxious, worried, impatient, irritable? A lot of times that goes with busyness. Sometimes I'm so caught up in my busyness that I'm shortest with the people that I love the most. And so we need to think about how do we put this in check, that we've got lots of good things to do. We can be busy with good things. But how do we make sure that it's not ruining our joy? You know, also busyness can be in a kind of a diversion to avoid addressing some of the deeper things some of the deeper and harder things. Busyness can cover the restlessness that we may feel at our core. That maybe we aren't willing to stop the noise because we're afraid of what we might confront in the silence. Satan has a good, we talked about putting on the armor of God this morning, the schemes of the devil. Satan has a good way of distracting us, all these things. And so sometimes we don't want to confront these things that we know are there, but we just don't want to address it. It's a lot easier to entertain ourselves or be busy because I can do something, I can control something. And yet God commands us to be still. And it's not just like, hey, be still. It's like a stop. Cease what you're doing. Stop. Be still and know that I am God. So we need to stop wearing busyness like a badge of honor, because it could be suffocating the most important thing, the most important source of life, God and His Word. So here's why this morning I decided it's worthy to think about for a few minutes, because, again, to our college students on the verge of a new chapter, a new experience, you are about to experience a time where there are all sorts of opportunities. Social, right, in a few weeks, social clubs, all that kind of stuff. Classes, right, academic opportunities, spiritual opportunities. You're going to have so many opportunities here, and it can be a transformative experience. And it's a great opportunity to grow your faith. But guess what? You can also just be stagnant. You could spend 4 years here and not experience any growth. In fact, you could even spend 4 years here and lose your faith. It's about what you do with your time here. And for all of us that are in different stages of life, right? I would love to be like, it gets better, it gets easier. No, this is a constant thing. There are going to be new obligations, new responsibilities. And so busy can take over. And how do we stop to be still, to know He is God, so that we can focus on the most important things, put the most important things at the center? So for a moment, let's think about, here's a couple thoughts about why do we get so busy? Why is it that we get so busy? We have technology that can free up a lot of time for us. Well, one, think about pride. When we are crazy busy, could it just be unchecked pride that we're just letting run wild? James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Is pride a source, maybe? Well, if I don't do it, who will? Guess what? You are replaceable. There will be somebody else. It's okay. Do we want the pat on the back? Do we want the performance evaluation? Do we want to prove ourselves? Is it to pursue possessions or power or pity? Or is it striving for perfectionism or prestige? In the book, a quote I like, a question Kevin says is, ask this of yourself, am I trying to do good or am I trying to make myself look good? I just finished a short course for values, some of our seniors, and one of the chapters, the audience of one, it stood out to them, really, they liked it. It was the reminder of, look, it's not a question of whether we have an audience, but who is our audience going to be? And am I striving to please or seek affirmation from this crowd or that crowd? But really, the audience that matters is God at the end of the day. That's who we answer to. So why do we get so crazy busy? Well, for one, maybe it's pride in ourselves, a sin that begets so many other sins. Maybe we're carrying unnecessary burdens. Maybe you're doing what God doesn't expect you to do. We can't do it all. And you may have to say no to a lot of good things to say yes to some of the best things. I take comfort in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, where Paul talks about that we're jars of clay. We're fragile. We're weak. We're a dime a dozen. And yet, it is to show God's power. The power is not from you and me. The power is from God. And hear me when I say this. Don't misunderstand me. I'm about to say something, right? I am not the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is that we are the body of Christ. That I can serve in my small ways, and you can serve in your small ways. And guess what? Together, we can serve in a million ways. But sometimes we take this burden on ourselves. But I think now, as a parent with children, like I think about how God would speak to me as a child. Like, you don't have to carry that. Let that burden go. So it's pride. Perhaps it's taking on more, carrying burdens that we're not called to carry. A lack of discernment. That we need to discern our priorities, right? When we're crazy busy, it's just the next thing that's in front of us takes our most attention. And when you do that, you aren't having priorities. Your priority list, you're just serving whatever the loudest thing is in front of you. In Mark chapter 1:35, we see Jesus would rise early, go to a desolate place and pray. You see, you cannot do it all, but we seek God's wisdom so that we can prioritize. So pride, carrying unnecessary burdens, we need to prioritize. Here's one more to consider. There's lots more that we could go on about. But connecting when you don't have to. Look, we are not God. We are not able to be everywhere and do everything for everyone all at once, nor should we ever even try. I love when Paul urges the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says to tells them to aspire, to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands. We don't have to share everything with everyone. We don't need to know everything about everyone. And so maybe we should do more of disconnecting from our social online interactions and to actually genuinely connect with one another. Because if we live online, then what we can find is we can become addicted to this kind of shallow affirmations from people looking for importance or value, and we take our eyes off the real source of our value, of God. God is the source of our very being. So we kind of close up this morning. I want to go to Luke, what Ben read for us this morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We also read about Mary and Martha and Lazarus and John chapter 11 and 12. I'm not going to read this again because we just read it a moment ago, but I sympathize with Martha. I'm a Martha, okay? Like, I know eternal things are more important, but there are things that need to be done today. Yes, and if Jesus came right now or came at the end of the day, yeah, that wouldn't matter, but I don't know, and so tomorrow may happen, right? I'm still figuring out that balancing act to keep my eyes on the eternal while also caring for the day-to-day. You know, I think here that we know that Jesus loved this whole family. John 11, 5 tells us that. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so I don't think this was a rebuke as much as a gentle reminder in verse 41 where he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. See, I don't think this is a harsh rebuke, but let's draw your attention where it really needs to be. And I think the key there is in verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Again, she's doing a good thing. We're going to see in chapter 11, you know, about 6 days before the Passover, Jesus is going to be having a meal with them. Guess who's serving? Martha. She's a servant. But you see, as Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, your busyness is not wrong, but it's not best. And if we get distracted with all these things, that busyness can lead to anxiousness and trouble. And you see what Mary was doing was she had taken the good portion, the thing that wouldn't be taken away, to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know that, again, we're going to see in chapter 11, Martha serving. You know what Mary's doing? Anointing Jesus' feet. What if someone recorded your life for a week and a group of strangers watched it? What do they think would be the good portion of your life? What would your life say about that? See, as we think about the start of a semester, like I said, we know this in theory. It's a much different thing, hard to put this into practice. But we don't want to be like that soil that gets crowded out with the thorns. And we need to do some self-examination of what is it that is driving this busyness in me. Is it pride? Is it people-pleasing, which is kind of another version of pride? You know, is it affirmation in these sources that aren't really that important? And is it that I'm just so distracted with all these things, I just need to stop, to be still, to spend time with God, to choose the good portion? And that is a lesson that we continue to strive to follow every day of our life. So what must we do? We need to devote ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. We have to believe that hearing from God is our good portion. We have to believe that sitting at God's Word, at the feet of Jesus, is the most important thing that we can do. And to lean into that. Lean into, I don't know what it is for you, wherever you're at, whether you're a college student, retired, the prime of, you know, busy job. Pick one thing of how you can kind of push against the thorns and instead to be still. And if you put God first, and if we devote ourselves to Jesus, those other things will shift in the process. There's another quote I liked that said, "Starting each day with eternity makes our petty problems and long to-do lists seem less significant." So as you're on the verge of an exciting time, just remember the most important things, to put God and His Word first. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." I'm excited to see what the year holds. I'm excited to see what our new students, that we may not know, but they're going to become the people that we know and love, and see what they build. But let's keep God at the foundation. Our congregation loves you. We're praying for you. And if you need anything at any time, if you ever need to come to the front pew, you'll be surrounded and we will pray for you. If you want more privacy, you can go in the back. There's always elders in the back that can pray with you. You can find a circle here that will support you to sit down and gather around and encourage one another. And if you don't know Christ, pray that you will seek truth. Truth should not fear investigation. The gospel is good news that Christ came. He died for our sin. Man, I fail. But God has made us clean. But God, as we talked about this morning in our class. And so, if you ever want somebody to study with, think about this more. We're here. You're this morning, you're like, I need to put on Christ in baptism. I need to wash my sins away and have a fresh start. We're here, down on the front pew, in the back, after the service. If you need anything, let us know while we stand and as we sing.